Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
Welcome to the fifth and final week of our series on the seven deadly sins, where what we're doing for the season of Lent is walking through these foundational sins as a way of getting real with ourselves regarding what it is that we need to work on so that ultimately we can do the difficult work of turning away from those sins and back to our God. And the question I want to ask all of you before we kind of jump into today, how many of you guys are tired of this sermon series? Anybody? I've had more than one person come up to me and go, hey, Josh, this is a great sermon series. I'm learning a lot. But at the same time, I'm tired of feeling guilty every time I walk out of here. And my response to you, I would say this nicely, of course, is, hey, this is what Lent's all about. It's about facing your sins. It's about facing those things that nobody wants to face. It's about repenting. It's about confessing and turning away from those sins and back to our God. So ultimately, you can live into the life that is truly life. So the unnice way to say that is, suck it up, buttercup. It's Lent. Let's get it. All right. So this morning, and to close out this series in a way that I think brings everything together, we're going to be exploring that sin that is considered by many to be the sin of sins, or the very thing that is at the root of all sins, which is pride. And yet, before we jump into the nature of this sin and how dangerous and destructive it can be, we first need to spend some time talking about the different kinds of pride. So my experience has been that for a whole lot of people, they find themselves being confused by how pride actually works. In that, on the one hand, some people tell them to take pride in what they do or who they are, or to be proud of what they've accomplished. While on the other hand, they hear other people saying things like, well, pride is a sin. Don't be prideful, or pride is what comes before the fall. Or how many of you have ever found yourself being confused about the difference between good pride and bad pride? Anybody know what I'm talking about with this, right? I think most of us at one time or another have wrestled with this particular question. So to help you see the difference between good pride and bad pride, let me walk you through an example that for me helps bring a little more clarity to this confusion. Now, what I want you to do to kind of help you get your brains around this is to imagine one of those superstar athletes that is not only head and shoulders above everybody else when it comes to their talents, but that they're also attractive and brilliant and good with people. Or ultimately, what I want you to imagine is one of those people who seems to have the total package. Well, in my experience of being around or watching people like this from a distance, what I've noticed is that it's really, really easy for these type of people to develop the bad sense of pride. And the reason for that, to a certain extent, is because everyone they know looks up to them. They want a piece of them. They want to be around them, or they want to just say that they know them. And because of that, all these superstar athletes hear their entire lives is how great they are, how special and set apart they are from everyone else, which in turn is a kind of admiration and special treatment that causes them to start thinking that they really are somehow better than everyone else, and that their lives actually matter more than most. And even more than that, they eventually start to think to themselves that the reason they are who they are, with all of their success and their wealth and status, is based on something they have done all by themselves, something that they have created. So they are the ones who deserve all the credit because they're just that good. Well, that, my friends, is an example of the bad or sinful kind of pride that can come in and take over people's lives, not just for superstars, although it happens there, but for many of us in many different areas of our life where we've had some success. Because basically, this kind of pride consists of an excessive sense of self-importance where one has an inflated view of their own abilities and achievements. And of course, because of this, they see themselves as superior to others. If you see yourself as superior than others in any other way, that is a form of pride, my friends, and you need to watch that. And it also comes with a whole lot of comparison where people, because of their inflated egos, simply look down on others because they actually think, again, that they're somehow better, more important than most. Or the truth is, even though I've given you this example of a superstar athlete to try to make this as clear as possible, what's happening in most of your brains is you are thinking about all those people that you know and have dealt with who are filled to overflowing with this type of pride. Or how many of you might just know someone right now in your life who's dealing with this kind of pride on a daily basis? Anybody? No? Nobody? There's no pride in the town of Great Bend is what you're telling me. Is that what you guys are getting at right here? Well, it's something that I see, and it's also something that I have to deal with in myself. But now that you get a pretty clear sense of the bad kind of pride, now let me walk you through the good kind of pride, or the pride that I think we should all embrace when it comes to who we are and what we have accomplished. So, how I make sense of good pride is to think about it as the kind of pride that is rooted and founded upon humility and gratitude. And I know at first that seems kind of oxymoronic to talk about pride being rooted in humbleness and gratitude, because in one sense, these things seem to be the opposite of pride. And yet, before you turn me out, I want you to give me a chance to show you what I'm talking about here, because you need to get this. This is really important for how you make sense of your own life. So, going back to our superstar example, the difference between those athletes who have the kind of bad pride compared to the good kind of pride is those with the good kind understand that who they are and what they have accomplished is not something they have done all by themselves, but is actually dependent on a whole lot of factors they had nothing to do with. For example, they get that their athletic talent and skill set is not just something they did, but is mostly the result of their genetic makeup, which they didn't have anything to do with. Now, of course, they've got to take what God gave them and put in a whole lot of hard work to become the superstar. And yet at the same time, they acknowledge that who they are and what they have accomplished is based on the fact that they won the genetic lottery, which in turn doesn't make them feel like they're somehow better. No, it makes them feel grateful for and humbled by the gifts they were born with. And to a certain extent, the same is true when it comes to their looks and their brains as well, in that they get that the way they look and how efficiently their brains work is not something they did by themselves, but is something they were born with, a gift that they have been given, which they now have the ability to use to do great things. Or this is something that really, really gets me, and it was a realization that I had later on in life. How many of you got to choose the way you look? Anybody? Now, there's a whole lot of things that we can do to help our look. There's no doubt about that. Ladies have way more than we do. I think men need to start wearing makeup as well. We might need more work on this deal. But how many of you really chose the way you look? You didn't. It's a genetic thing. So why in God's name, if you're more attractive than others or people see you as attractive, do you think that makes you better than anybody else in any way? Right? But that is something that is foundational in our society. It's kind of built into the way we think about the world. And not just the way we look, but there are a whole lot of other things. Right? The way your brain works. Why are you interested in what you're interested in? Why are you good at mathematics and can't figure out how to tie your own shoes? How can you tie your shoes and not figure out? I mean, we think there's a whole lot of things that we are responsible, so we take pride in them, and yet they were gifts that we have been given. And then to add to that, these kind of people also take into account factors like how they were raised and what their parents and other family members had to give to help them get to this place. They see that if it wasn't for their teammates or those people who they played with through grade school up into the pros, they wouldn't be who they are. And on we could go naming all the factors and things that had to come together in such precise ways to help these people reach their status. And what all of that makes clear is that the good pride is not based in arrogance or thinking that you're better than others, but it's the kind of pride where one acknowledges that who they are and what they have accomplished is dependent on a whole lot of things we have nothing to do with. And so with gratitude for the gifts that we have received, we take all that we have been given, and we've all been given some pretty incredible gifts, and in humbleness, not only use that to create great lives for ourselves, but most importantly, to look for ways where we can use that gift, those gifts, to help others and for the sake of God's kingdom. Because, of course, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a person who takes great pride in your work and what it is that you have been able to accomplish through all your blood, sweat, and tears. There's nothing wrong with being proud of the family that you belong to and what that says about you. What you guys need to know is I am a proud member of the Lou family. We are a crazy bunch of ding-dongs who like to think and nerd out and watch sports and all that kind of stuff. But that's who I am. That's where I come from. And you bet I am proud to be a part of that tribe. And I hope you are proud to be a part of your tribe. And there's also nothing wrong with being proud of the person that you have become. All the things that you had to do, all the obstacles that you had to do to get to this point, there's nothing wrong with being proud of that, even though you know you're not a finished product. And all because pride is good when it celebrates growth, honors effort, and leads to gratitude and humbleness rather than arrogance and self-importance. You guys see how foundational that is? It's pretty amazing. And yet, now that we have hopefully gained some clarity regarding the confusion that many have when it comes to different kind of prides, while keeping all of that in mind, let us now examine the sin of pride in a theological kind of way so you can see why this sin really is such a big deal. And to do that, we turn to the Adam and Eve story, kind of back to the beginning, because I think that's the easiest place to wrap your brain around this. So, in the Adam and Eve story, God creates Adam from the dust of the ground and puts him in the Garden of Eden. Then from Adam, God creates Eve as his partner, the plan being that this couple would not only work in the garden, but would live into a deep and abiding relationship with God in a kind of paradise. Everything was going to be great for these guys if they just kind of went along with things. And yet, just when the scene was set for Adam and Eve to live out their lives happily ever after in God's presence, that's when the old serpent shows up to tempt them away from the good path that God has set before them. And ultimately, the temptation that the serpent is offering to Adam and Eve is for them to become like gods themselves, or in a sense, to make themselves equal to or better than God, as Genesis 3:5 explains. And this is the serpent talking here. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Or what I want you to see here is that the sin that undergirds the fall is basically nothing more than human beings thinking they are better and smarter than God, which in turn gives them the ability to choose not to listen to God and do whatever it is that they want to do. Or similar to how your children, because of their pride, they think they know better than you, even at the age of 5 years old. Can I get an amen on that one? That, at its essence, is the kind of pride that is at work behind the fall of all mankind. And yet I know at first when you think about pride, it doesn't seem like that big a deal in comparison to some of the other deadly sins like wrath and greed and lust. And yet what you'll discover when trying to get to the source and the cause of not just the seven deadly sins, but all sins, is that almost every sin that has ever been committed is based on a choice that human beings make. And that we can either choose to follow the good ways that God has set before us for our own good, or we can choose to do it our own way because, again, we think we're better and smarter than God. That simple, that easy. For example, people who have cheated on their spouses at some point choose to go against the way of God. They know the way of God. You're not supposed to do that because somehow they justify how committing that sin is not that big a deal. People whose lives are consumed by greed and envy instead of contentment, which is what God teaches all of us, decide they know better, so they go out and continue to buy and get more stuff because they think that's going to make their lives better. And even people who commit murder at some point had to make the choice between keeping God's command, thou shalt not kill, or killing that person because somehow they know better than God. Which means even though pride doesn't seem like that big a deal at first, it's actually the very thing that not only lies behind the fall, but it's the very thing that lies at the basis of all sin. Where because we think we know better than God, we choose our own way. And so what I think all of that means for us today as Christians trying to do our best of turning away from our sins and back to God is, first of all, no matter how much wealth or success or how many good things we accomplish in this life, we need to get a whole lot better at seeing that who we are and what we have accomplished is not something we have done on our own, but it's something that is dependent on a whole lot of factors we had absolutely nothing to do with, which in turn helps us to clearly see just how lucky and blessed we really are to be the people God created us to be and to have all the opportunities we have been given. Do you guys see that? There's this notion in America today, it's individualism, that we are our own people and we choose to do our own ways. There's some truth to that. But what is also just as true that who we are and what we accomplish is based on a whole lot of factors, a whole lot of things that happen around us. And we need to open our eyes to see that and be thankful for that instead of being arrogant about what we have accomplished, right? But even more than that, we've got to learn humbleness. We have got to learn to be more humble when it comes to understanding that we really don't know better than God. We think we do by the choices we make every single day. And instead, learn to trust that not only does our God know better, but that our God is actually trying to help us live into our best possible lives if we'll just learn to listen. So you guys see it, right? You see the difference between good pride and bad pride. And so we get to make the choice, which way are we going to go? Which way are we going to lean into? But even more than that, you see that the basis of all human sin is choice. It's a choice that we make every single day. Will we choose to follow the way of God, which leads to life, which leads to blessing? Or will we choose our own way because we think we know better? That's it. You can base all sin, you can base all of humans' horrible decisions they've made in the past on those two things. Will you choose to follow the way of God, or will you choose your own path? My hope, and this is way easier said than done, and it's way less black and white than I like to make it sound here. My hope is you'll choose the way of Jesus, or the way of life that leads to the kind of life that we all long for, by humbling ourselves and listening and obeying. Let us pray. Father, again, we come to you so grateful for this sermon series that has forced us not to run from the sins of our lives, but to face them head on, to feel that guilt, that shame, that nagging sense that won't leave us alone. But help us to understand, O Lord, as we face these sins, that you are a God of unconditional love and grace. And what you want from us is not for us to run away. No, what you want for us is for us to come to your feet, confess our sins, and to work through the process of repentance as we turn away from those sins and back to you. And with pride, O Lord, help us to see just how foundational it is for all sin. So that instead of being the people who think we know better than anybody else, even you, may we be the kind of people who choose your way, because that way leads to the life that is truly life. Lord, we pray all of this in your name and for our sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.